How many mothers, biological mothers, do we have in here today? Could you raise your hand? Awesome. Whoa. Awesome. Awesome. How many spiritual moms do we have in here? Today is Mother's Day. And, you know, I was, as I was, planning for this day, I realized I have never done a Mother's Day message. You know, we've talked about moms, we've honored moms with flowers, but, and I just felt led that we should take a mini break, just for today, from our series that we've been doing on healing and deliverance, just for today, okay? Can you hang with me, guys? I think it's important. You know what? God honors women, and he does it in his word. So we want to honor women today. Is that okay? Men, you will get your chance next month, okay? But we want to honor biological mothers. We want to honor spiritual mothers today. We want to honor godly women, just godly women, okay? And every woman sitting in this place today, every single one, young or old, you are a godly woman. You're listening. You're sitting under God's teaching in here all the time, and you show up. So that's a hunger. So we have plans for all you women to take along today, okay? If you know someone, maybe they've just become a mom. Maybe you're taking mom out for lunch today, and the waitress is going to be waiting on you. Honor her. If there's any plans left over, take one and give it to that waitress. Honor women. You can even throw one of our business cards on the back of the cardette. You know, whatever. But we want to honor women today, okay? We have a little, I believe we have a little video that was made specifically for Mother's Day. So we're going to show that briefly, and then we'll get into the message, okay?
You start the day with a few moments to pray, a few seconds for thank you before the chaos hits. Before the minutes get spent on playing all the roles you play, this great God gave you one of the most important jobs to help mold and shape your little birds to build a nest until they learn to fly on their own on any given day. Your mom, wife, doctor, nurse, counselor, CEO, let mommy see where it hurts, coach and referee, disciplinarian, chef, event coordinator, accountant and creative, teacher, and attendee of tea parties many days. You are a super shero with no cape, just flats or jeans or sneakers or yoga pants, ready to answer the mom's signal at any time. You are also a woman, a feeling, breathing, thinking, dreaming woman. Motherhood may have brought you a few extra curves, but it also taught you the power of words, of knowing your limitations, of finding strength and resting in weakness, that you are more than your morning routine or all of the thoughts that invade your mind before you try to sleep. You were made for adventure, not the kind where we put on a brave face just to save face in the face of insecurity and laundry and worries. God wants you to find the courage to be yourself, to remember the calling and the dreams, to remember the seeds he planted in your heart, to remember it only takes one step to start, to remember out of all your roles, hats, jobs, titles, you are first the daughter of an everlasting father who holds your hand at the precipice of all of life's steep hills and dangerous cliffs, who when the wind is whipping at your ears, when your mind is filled with can'ts and won'ts and should-I's, reminds you that he's with you, that he is the one who makes you brave. He is the one who helps you face the day, gives you strength, gives you permission to be weak, gives you the boldness to speak, a quiet place to breathe, ears to hear the heart, eyes to see the dreams. We all long to be rescued, but we are not Lois Lane, searching for Superman or Gotham, on the lookout for Bruce Wayne. The hero we live for has no flaws, no weakness, no kryptonite. He is love, mercy, and sacrifice, conqueror of death, creator of life, the hero of all heroes, the inventor of time. He is with you. You are not alone. Motherhood is an adventure. May you always have courage, boldness, and grace for the journey.
Ha ha ha! How about that, mothers? How about that, women? Husbands, do you think about your wives like that?
Yeah.
Yay! Okay, that was the right answer! Yeah! Woo! Y'all pass! Now, I know we're not all mothers in here. Some of you are men, okay? But we just want to honor, we want to honor women today. We do all have something in common, though. Every one of us, we were all birthed by our mother. So we can all relate to Mother's Day, right? Okay. All right. We all have a mother. Your mother may be alive. She may have gone on to heaven, but we could all relate to being birthed by a mother. That's who God used to bring you into this world. That's a pretty prominent position, don't you think? She birthed you. God used her to bring you into this world. So God has a very special place, a very special role for mothers to play. It's not just for carrying a baby for 9 months and then leaving that baby to fend for themselves. A mother's role is to watch over, to train up, to nurture her children. Very often, the characteristics of the virtuous woman found in Proverbs 31 describes the ideal mother and wife. Could you open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 31? We want to look at the virtuous wife and mother, and we're going to read it. Proverbs 31. And I want to start at verse 10. Okay. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Wow. That's a pretty incredible task, don't you think? That's an incredible. These are the characteristics that Proverbs 31 just brought out there. She's virtuous. She's faithful. She gives reverence to God and to her husband. She does good. She's willing to work. She's a good manager. She's industrious. She's strong. She possesses endurance. She's well-rounded. She has many talents, many talents. She's charitable. She gives to the poor. She is a provider for her family. She's well-dressed. She's a wife of a good husband. She's a good businesswoman. She's honorable. She's wise. She's kind. She's a good mother. She watches over her household. She keeps herself busy. She's not idle. She's praiseworthy. Her husband and her children praise her. She attains or excels. She does very well. She fears the Lord, and she bears fruit. You know, any woman looking at that list, seeing what that virtuous woman does, that could be a little overwhelming. How about it, ladies? It could be a little bit overwhelming. Scripture says that these are characteristics that are recorded. They're by King Lemuel. And these were characteristics that were spoken to him by his mother. So his mother was teaching him what to look for. All right? When you're picking out a wife, young men, you can listen to this. You know, when you're picking out a wife, these are some characteristics that you might want to be looking for. So now, I do want to give a word of advice here. Don't discount someone if they don't meet every single one, okay? All right? We're all a work in progress, okay? We're all a work in progress, and we're all being shaped and molded to look more like God. We're all working out that salvation we got in here, right? We're all working that out. But I can see in Scripture where it says that God he doesn't sleep nor slumber. And if you read about this virtuous woman, man, she is up at when it's dark and she stays up late at night. And can I confess right there? Can I make a confession? I would fall short right there, okay? I can relate to the getting up when it's dark stuff, you know. But man, to accomplish the job that God has given me to do, I got to give this body some rest. Okay, can you relate? Anyway, so King Lemuel's mother was lovingly trying to point him in the right direction as he's seeking a wife and mother. Okay? We don't know who King Lemuel was. He's an unknown king. Some think that he identifies with Solomon in the Bible. Some think that he identifies with Hezekiah. Others believe that he's an anonymous Arabian prince. But the one thing that is known is that his mother is revealing good characteristics to look for in a mate. Okay? All right. Virtuous is the first one. Can we look at the word virtuous, Kathy? I want to see what that word. That Hebrew word is kayel. Kayel. It means virtuous. It means strong, mighty, able, wealthy, worthy, with substance, powerful. So you know, motherhood is a heavy responsibility. It's a big responsibility. As we saw from our video, a mother is a cook. She's a maid. She's a taxi driver. She's a teacher. She's a nurse. She's a referee at times. She's an encourager. She's one who loves you when everyone else turns away. That's a description of a godly mother. She believes in you when everyone else has given up. She's one who will encourage you. Whatever your dreams are, she will encourage you. One of her responsibilities is found in Proverbs 22:6. Kathy, could you bring that scripture up? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So a mother, a godly mother, is one who trains up her children, okay? She has an awesome responsibility and many tasks to perform. Of all of those characteristics that we read about in Proverbs 31, my estimation, the most important one is that she fears God. She fears God. That's not talking about fearing God like you know, he'll strike us down for no reason. Can we look at that word fear, Kathy? That word is yare. It means to stand in awe of something or someone possessing great power. It means to revere someone. You know, when God chose Mary to be the mother of his son, he chose Mary, he sent the angel Gabriel. Mary could have said, no way, I'm not doing that. She had a choice. But what was her response? She revered God, and she said, behold, the maidservant of God, let it be unto me according to your word. Mary revered God. And scripture says in Matthew 6:33, Kathy, can you bring that up? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I believe seeking God, revering God, putting his kingdom first is the most important characteristic of a godly woman, wife, mother. Okay? You know, you may see some or many of those characteristics that we write about in Proverbs in your own earthly mother. But whether your mother was a godly woman or not, Scripture has direction for us. Kathy, could you bring up Exodus 20, verse 12? God tells us to give honor to our mothers. This is in the ten big ones, in the commandments. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So God tells us to honor our parents. You know, Jesus honored his mother. Remember the wedding at Cana? Remember that wedding? And Mary had asked Jesus to perform his first miracle publicly. And he said, oh, it's not my time yet. But because his mother asked him, he honored her and performed that miracle. He honored her request, and that water was turned into wine supernaturally. We would all do well to follow what that mother said to the servants. Do you remember what she said to the servants? Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you to do. Okay, and then another time, as Jesus, remember when Jesus hung on the cross? He hung on the cross. He was honoring his mother as he directed the apostle John to take care of his mother. Remember that? He knew he was no longer going to physically be there to take care of her. Kathy, could you bring up that scripture? John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which we know was John, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his home. So as Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was demonstrating to us that we're to care for our parents. We're to care for them. He was making sure that his mother was taken care of. And you notice John took Jesus' mother into his own home. That wasn't his biological mother, but she became his spiritual mom. Yeah. He honored God by providing and caring for Mary. You may have someone in your life who's very special to you that is not your biological mother. or ladies, you might have someone in your life who looks up to you. That's not your biological child. That makes you a spiritual mom. A woman doesn't have to have bear children to be a spiritual mother. God can use all of us, every single one of us. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. So today we're honoring all women, and I want to show an example of a spiritual mother in Scripture. Okay? I want to look at it. You guys can go to the book of Ruth. I believe Mother's Day is a perfect day to look at the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. Okay, so we're going to do that today. All right, I want to start reading in verse 1. Can you find Ruth, everybody? Okay. All right. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now the two sons took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So do we get the history here? There was a drought in the land, okay? And so in order to feed his family, Elimelech takes his family and they go to Moab. While they're in Moab, Elimelech dies, and also the two sons as well. So Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-laws, okay? Orpah and Ruth. And they were there in that land about 10 years, it says. So I want to read on with verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in his house, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Naomi hears that there's food where they came from, back in Bethlehem. So she decides to return to Bethlehem, but she encourages her daughters-in-law to go back to their families, back to their mothers. Because they could possibly remarry in their own country. These were Moabite women. They were Moabites were considered aliens by Israel. Orpah gave in, and she returned to her family. But Ruth refused. She loved Naomi. Naomi unwittingly had actually become like a mother to Ruth. And Ruth had become her spiritual daughter. The love between them was very, very deep. Let's continue reading in verse 15. Kathy, I think I have these scriptures up on the screen. Okay, verses 15. And she, Naomi, said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." Moab honored other gods, not the God of Israel. Okay? But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Verse 17, Kathy. "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Wow, that's an amazing, amazing declaration there. The Moabites worshipped other gods. This was a time in history where the two countries were ethnically divided against each other. And Naomi's sons had married these two Moabite women that were, because they were living there in Moab, but they were there because of the famine. All right, that was taking place in Bethlehem, but now Naomi finds there's food there, so she wants to return to her country. But Naomi knew that if she returns to her country with her daughters-in-law, it would be very unlikely that they would be married. Very unlikely. Moabites were considered foreigners. But here, in these verses that we just looked at, Ruth is making a choice, isn't she? She's making a strong stand. She learned about the God of Israel through Naomi. In these verses, you can see that Ruth is making a choice. She actually invokes the name of the Lord. She said, "Your God shall be my God." So she's declaring faith in the creator of the universe. Powerful, powerful, just because of the connection with Naomi. Naomi was teaching her. So Ruth is turning to the God of Israel. This is a really good story to show how we can overcome barriers with those who don't believe like we believe or agree with everything that we agree with. Okay, it's just an awesome testimony. It takes the God kind of love to overcome those kind of barriers. It's the God kind of love to overcome personal issues, the social issues that we deal with. We have to have God's kind of love. So Naomi becomes Ruth's spiritual mother. In fact, Naomi in Ruth 2:22, Kathy, could you bring that up? Naomi says, she calls her daughter. "It is good, my daughter." Naomi is calling Ruth her daughter. And if you continue to read the story, you'll see how Naomi guides, she advises Ruth to work for a relative, a near kinsman named Boaz, to seek his favor. And then Boaz and Ruth, they eventually marry, and they have a son named Obed, who becomes the father of Jesse, the grandfather of David, and an ancestor in the line of Jesus Christ. Powerful, powerful. It's a beautiful story of spiritual motherhood, overcoming racial barriers. Awesome, awesome. By a mother who loves and cares for someone who isn't even her own child. Such a good story. Ruth is one of two books in the Old Testament that bears a woman's name. There's another one. Esther. We're looking at these two women today. They are amazing women of God. We're honoring all women today. But because there are two books there with these two women's name on, we're looking at those two women. You know, God gives honor to women. He honors us. So we want to do that as well today. So we all know the story about Esther, how she played a very important role in saving her people. There was a plot to eliminate them. And you remember how Esther was, she was basically an unknown Jewish girl, but she rises to a great prominent position as queen in an empire. And so she was a member of a Jewish family that had been carried into captivity, 600 BC. And that family chose to remain in Persia rather than return to Jerusalem. Remember, she was a cousin to Mordecai. Remember Mordecai. When Esther's parents died, Mordecai took Esther in, and she became his father, adoptive father. Then eventually the king of Persia seeks a queen, and Esther is chosen. She's chosen. Then you know the story how the second official in command, his name was Haman, he demands that all people bow to him, and Mordecai refused to bow to anyone other than God, the God of Israel. And so Haman got real upset with that. He was angry. His hatred toward Mordecai caused him to plot to kill all the Jews that were there in the Persian Empire, including Mordecai. And so Mordecai reminds Esther of her God-given opportunity to expose Haman and his plot to the king and to save her people. He reminded her that she was in a prominent position for such a time as this. Are you in a prominent position for such a time as this, ladies? Absolutely you are. You're not here at this time, this year, this date, by accident. And and if we read on the story, you can read that on your own. Esther risks her own life. She goes before the king, and she eventually exposes Haman's plot and his true character. She does that very tactfully and with skill. And the end result is Haman is hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai to die on, and the Jewish people are saved. So God used Esther in a powerful, powerful way. Women are given honor and respect in Scripture. We talked about Ruth and Naomi. We talked about Esther. There are many more in Scripture. All right, we're just focusing on those. In the New Testament, Mary was honored. Remember when the archangel came and told her that God chose her to be the father of God's son. And then there was Elizabeth. Who was Elizabeth? Mother of John the Baptist, okay? There were also women there during the crucifixion. They were eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. Mary Magdalene, Joanne. These were the first ones that Jesus told to go and share. He entrusted the gospel with these women first. and also women played a very interesting role with Paul. They were like, you know, on his missionary journey. They were partners with him. There's Lydia, Phoebe, Chloe, Rufus's mother, Priscilla, Julia, and there's just a whole list of women. But the point I want to make is that women played a powerful role in history. Today we're honoring women. I always like to take the word and see how does Scripture relate to today? Can we bring it into today to see how that word relates to us? You know, we read about all those wonderful characteristics of the ideal wife and mother. And we look briefly at some of the biblical women who demonstrated some of those qualities. What I want to do next is I'd like y'all to just think about a woman who inspired you, who picked you up when you were down. It may have been your mother. It may have been a spiritual mother. It may be someone, you know, another, just a godly woman. They may not be a mother at all, okay? But they may be your spiritual mom. So we're going to open the mic up in a few moments. But I want to look again at, Kathy, could you pull up Proverbs 31:28? The reason we're doing this, guys, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And then also, Kathy, Proverbs 31:30. We saw in Proverbs 31:30, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We're honoring women today. So I want you to think about someone and be able to just give a brief testimony who that person might be, okay? For me, I had a godly grandmother. She was very influential in my life, and she demonstrated many of these qualities that we just read about in Proverbs 31. She loved her family. She would do anything for them. She, you know, life for her wasn't very easy. She went through a divorce. Then the second person that she married became an alcoholic. But through all of that, she was the strong, she was like the rock of Gibraltar. She went to work. She was actually a seamstress here in Allentown. And she, when the husband wasn't providing, she was the one providing, keeping that home, being able to feed the family. She was just very influential. She persevered. She was a hard worker. Man, she could work. She was a workhorse. She wasn't a quitter. She would not quit, no matter what life dealt to her. I think I got some of my stick-to-itiveness from her, you know. I follow in her footsteps in another way, too. She's from the old school, you know, and she lived on farms a lot of her life, and so she would go to bed very early, you know, like, well, the sun is still up, guys. But she would also get up while it's still dark, and she would be preparing her meals for the family. So I follow in her footsteps there. My earthly mother passed away when I was 3 years old, so I don't really remember her. I have had a stepmother that raised me. But my grandmother stands out so strongly because of these characteristics that we read about. She just, you know, my father remarried when my biological mother passed away. And so when that happened, we didn't get to visit this other grandmother I'm talking about so much, okay? The connection wasn't there. But this grandmother, who worked in a sewing mill many hours a day, they would get 2 weeks vacation in the summer, right around 4th of July, they would get 2 weeks vacation. And every year, she would give up one of those weeks to have me and my brother come down and stay with her. Her whole week, she wanted to see her grandchildren because she didn't get to see us unless it was a funeral or a wedding or something else going on throughout the year. So she would devote that time. This is her vacation time, and she's spending it. She wants her grandkids that she's got to cook for. She would sew me dresses. You know, she's off from her sewing job, but she would slave hours making me dresses. That she was just loving me, you know. They sometimes were a little really long, ladies, but I would hem them up a little bit. but I watched her sew. She was amazed. She was an amazing seamstress. That's a talent that's kind of like going by the wayside, but she taught me, and I was able to use those talents for my own family. I don't have much time to do that so much anymore, but I'm sharing my grandmother. She was the godly woman. And this uh, I think one of the most important things that my grandmother did for me was that she introduced me to God. When we would come to her place to visit her, she lived on Gordon Street down here, she would walk us to church. Every time we could know we were going to church. Even if I didn't want to go, she would take us to church. And she prayed for me. I believe what I'm doing now in my life and how I've progressed, I thank God for my praying grandmother. She was very influential in my life. And I became the first Christian in my family. And from that, it's just been doing amazing things in our family. I owe it all, I believe, to my grandmother. She's a praying grandmother. So my Proverbs 31 woman was my grandmother. I'm sure many, if not all of you, have been impacted by a Proverbs 31 woman. It may or may not have been your mother. You may have had a mother who didn't match up to this Proverbs 31. But God still tells us, honor her. Honor her. If she wasn't quite all there, we forgive. He says, forgive, right? But we honor, we still honor our mother. So I want to ask if there is anyone here. Gary, do we have some microphones? Okay. I would like, in these few moments that we have left, if you would just share from your heart any godly woman, any Proverbs 31 woman, if you could share the characteristics about that person, you could just share. We'll just take a few minutes to do that. Whoa, I see a hand over there. Solomon. Yeah, go Solomon. You can come on up. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name's Solomon, if no one knows. I wanted to speak about Mother's Day, but just something that every woman can relate with one word, I think, is sacrifice. You know, everyone here has sacrificed something for each other, and I think that's really important. Before I bring my mother up, I wanted to say that, but every woman here is very important because they've contributed so much, you know, to their children, to other people in their lives, and they've given their time, they've given a lot, and that is very important. So I'm going to bring my mother up.
Woo! Come on up, Kat! Proverbs 31 woman right here! Case, yes, we got them!
In case you didn't know, this is my mother. Her name is, well, I don't call her by her first name, but her name is Patricia. And she's really important to me. She's sacrificed a lot. I think she's given a lot to my brother here, and my two other sisters. I have two other older sisters. I'm the youngest. But one thing I really appreciate about my mom, she works 6 days a week. Right, she works 6 days a week, but in between the 7 days, on Monday she does her work and she wakes up early and she comes back late. But on Tuesday she makes tacos for us in the evening and she buys bagels in the morning. And on Wednesday, and on Wednesday we have Bible study here. And every week she's here, either on the phone or physically she's here. And on Thursday and Friday she still works. But in between that, she's praying for people. She's praying for us. She's praying for you guys. She's keeping us all up in prayer. And she is there for us. On Friday, same thing. Saturdays, she opens up her schedule for everyone else. She wants to say, okay, well, let's go to the store and do this. Or if you guys need, she's there for you guys. And on Sunday too, she's here for us. And I think that's really important. She makes she's a party planning committee. She is of the church. She makes sure that things get executed here, and that whenever we have a plan to eat or just have fun, she is the leader of it. And that is a major role for us because we have a lot of fun because of her. But I'm really grateful for my mom because she's done so much for us. And I couldn't ask for anything better. So.
Woo! Awesome! Wow!
Can I say something about you real quick?
Yes.
Okay. So, this is my mom, like my brother said. I love her so much. So, like going on that same vein as the party planning committee, I don't know if you've had a mom like this. My mom, like, she's always in everything. Like anything that goes on, she's in it. Like she's always kind of like doing something in the background. And like, so whenever, because she always tries to make, you know, my life and the lives of other people, you know, as happy as possible. So whenever there's something going on, like a party or like, you know, an event, she's always kind of like in the background, kind of making plans with people and trying to figure out what she could do to make things the best, you know, that they could ever be. And so she's always kind of taking her time and just trying to make it so we could have a good time. And like my brother said, she's always working. And I really appreciate it. And I try to tell her all the time how appreciative I am, because I know sometimes when you're just kind of in the flow of things, like, you know, you're doing things, sometimes you might forget to just tell that person who's working for you how much you really care. And so I want you to know I really, really, really care for you, Maya, but I'm not done yet. She's always like, she's always doing little things for me. Like I had prom yesterday with my girlfriend, and, you know, I dropped my clothes off at the dry cleaner, and my mom, she went out of her way to go get my clothes from the dry cleaner because I was busy doing some stuff too. And like, she didn't have to do that. She was working. She was already doing things. But she just, she decided that she, just because she could do it, she wanted to do it just to make my life a little easier when her life is so much harder than mine, and she's doing all this stuff. And like, I'm just trying to like, I try to figure out what can I do to repay her? What can I do to repay you? Just to bring it back. And, you know, I'm still working on it, but I don't know if there's anything I could really do, but I mean,
Lord.
I just want to say I love you. Yeah. I love you.
Awesome.
Love you guys.
Awesome.
Wow. I guess while I'm here, I'll just talk about really briefly the greatest gift. I've had many, many spiritual women in my life, from my own grandmothers to aunts and just different people that have been in my life. But I'm going to speak about one woman who has impacted my family. It was actually my husband's grandmother. His grandmother, which is Nana, briefly, her story is that her mother died when she was a baby, when she was young. And so she had to learn how to be a mom. And she didn't know how to cook. She was like 5 years old learning how to cook off of a farm. And she raised her own family, but she also raised her then new brothers and sisters from her stepfather, from her father. You know, she became that. But she didn't know how to cook. And I would, when I met Ralph's family, it was unbelievable. She, watching her and seeing her, she taught me love in action. I saw it. His family became my family, very much like Ruth. And she had this saying. She said this. Nana said this. She said, "Tap." They didn't know my name was Patricia at all. They thought my name was Tap or Tappy. So much so that when they got the wedding invitation, they got upset. They said, who is this Patricia? What happened to Tappy?" And we had been together for 5 years. So anyway, but Nana, literally, Nana said this saying. She said, "I couldn't love you more if I had birthed you myself."
Wow. Wow. Awesome.
And I grew up in a family, but I didn't know what love meant. I had no idea. To love unconditionally when people have treated you really badly. But she was the rock. And not only that, she did this for everyone. Communities would come, and what she had, she gave. What little was a lot, and she made it spread. You saw God in action. And she raised our children. So the greatest gift is only thing Nana ever asked and required was that every Sunday the families would come to her house. Now, her house was a very small house, but we were everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's what she lived for. I mean, my husband would come home from high school and she'd have pancakes for him for lunch right down the street. He'd tell me this and I go, whoa. And so she impacted not only my life, she impacted my family, she impacted my brother who married Ralph's sister. And it went on and on and on. She raised Brittany and Rachel. They never went to daycare as I was working. I had Brittany, this is back in 1990, I had Brittany, and my body was trying to come together, everything was happening all at once, and I didn't know what to do, and she literally took my baby.
Wow.
Days old. A day old. After the hospital. And she cared for Brittany. And she couldn't say Brittany's name. And she said Rachie, because she couldn't say Rachel. But she, when I tell you, she took care of my brand new baby so that I could get myself together and emotionally. And his aunts stepped in and they counseled me and they became my mothers. And my mother was there. And my sisters were there, but this family walked in love. And I'm talking issues. Oh, my goodness, they had issues. But the thing is, they would always say this, never talk, that's still your father. That's still your brother. That's still whoever did something awful to you. You were not allowed to speak badly about them. You were only to speak love. And I saw it in action.
Wow.
I was raised understanding the word, but I didn't see it in action. Mm-hmm. And that's what means more than anything else. So when I'm talking about my Nana, and I'll be done in a minute, I was literally at a graduation, a Penn State graduation, and all of a sudden, son, I smelled roses. There were no roses near me. And I had Nana. Nana came up in my spirit. It was these beautiful roses. And it was like, wow, this is Nana. Mm-hmm. And I stopped for a moment because I realized that I hadn't, she had gone on to be with the Lord. But I stopped for a moment. I realized that I hadn't grieved for her. Because I'm the one that, you know, I'm doing the stuff, mm-hmm. and I helped everybody else in their grieving,
yeah.
that it hit me, that it was like, and it was like, I said to my husband, Nana's here with me. And he said, that's good. That's good. And so even today, everybody talks about Nana, and we honor her, and we remember our Sundays together. For years, we just come together every Sunday. That was her requirement. Hmm. Come together. We're going to break bread together, and we're going to spend time as family and love. Awesome. And love. That's it. I'm sorry.
Awesome. Whoa. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anyone else have a Proverbs 31 woman?
I'm going to make this real quick. There's not a woman in this place that hasn't personally helped me and touched me. So rather than tell everybody, going through every single person, I'm going to seek you all out and find you, if not today, in the next 2 weeks, and I'm going to tell you personally. But I want to recognize two people while I'm up here. I want to let you know, Pat, and this wasn't all about you today, I want you to know that what you have meant to me as a sister, you have shown me the true meaning of grace and unmerited favor. And you have showed me love and support and grace, just beyond. And you guys have changed my life, Ralph and Pat. You guys have changed my life. But it's, you know, I'm back in that prayer room, Pat. There's weeks I didn't know how I was going to get here. And I just want to thank you. I love you so much.
Oh, you're awesome.
She's my true sister, guys. I love you. And I also want to say that when I look at my wife, I think of a woman that just sacrifices. That's the best word I could do to describe Kathy, with children and grandchildren, is sacrifice to the point of hurt. Mm-hmm. Cooking to the point of where she can't stand anymore, mm-hmm. and I see tears coming from pain. And I just want to say thank you to my wife. Amen.
Oh, Proverbs 31, women. Anyone else? Dave, the Proverbs 31 woman could be alive today or may have already gone on to be with the Lord, but share.
I got two words of knowledge yesterday and today. One was in my right foot and one was in my left foot this morning. So if anybody is having pain in feet, now's your day for healing, and God's going to heal your feet. So see me afterwards.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Pass it. Go, Debbie, go.
Speaking of the spiritual, you know, mothers, even though she's my sister, I wouldn't know where I would be without my sister Rhonda in my life. I have been so blessed by God to have her. I have come a long way, and she's just such a beautiful person inside and out. She's so giving. I don't even know where she gets all the time to do the things she does for everyone, you know, but I just want to thank you, Rhonda, for planting that seed in me and having me where I am today, for having me come to the Lord and being blessed.
Aw, honey. Thanks, sister. I love you. Aw. You're a Proverbs 31 woman yourself, Debbie. Yeah. Anyone else?
I would like to just say first to my grandmother, Naomi. Her name is Naomi. This woman is extraordinary. In the midst of it all, we had the community come to our house. Every Sunday we'd come together for dinner as a family. But folks would find Nana and not leave her. And she would come, and just give an example, from Nana's little house, there is a young man we used to go to church with. He's now a pastor, a bishop. He's got over 10,000 people in his one church. Wow. He's got churches all over the world. And he calls my Nana his mom. We have another woman who actually has become mayor of the city. She would come to our house on Sundays and eat and just be in the basket of love. So the point that I'm saying is that the love that she carries is here in this room. Mm. And you never underestimate the majesty of God's love in your life towards those that are around you, in your family, and in the community. And also, I'd like to celebrate a woman today. And sister, what is your mother's name?
My biological mother?
Yes.
Arlette.
Okay, I would like to celebrate Arlette today. Now, I'm being very candid with you.
Okay.
You may say you don't know who Arlette is. I say I know who she is. I said to you, sis, I said, whoever your mother is, she's amazing. In other words, I said to you, thank you for your mother. She's blessed me more than most know. I know your mother, Arlette. She's standing before my eyes. And I'm here to tell you that her living has not been in vain. I have witnesses, but I have personally, over the last 10 years, stood still. Before I saw you with my eyes. I heard you with my ears. I heard of this woman in Mukunji filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, I have to meet this woman. And I have. And I've gotten a chance to know your family. And I've watched you for 10 years. Wow. You ready? Yeah. Precious. Precious.
Oh, thank you, Ralph.
Precious. This woman cares. She's the first to care. She's the first to be there. And she just loves in everything she does. If you have a card, be careful not to open it, because you know what? Love will get you. I'm telling you, this woman is love alive. I praise God for Arlette. I praise God for her. May I know God has answered her prayers in you.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you. Aw, thank you. Oh, I love you too. Pass it back. Proverbs 31 women. Woo! Go, Dave, go.
Anyway, there are so many women in my life who made a difference. I mean, so many. All the women here, for example, are examples. Three come to mind, though. One is my mother, who, when I was 9 years old in 1959, her and I were taking a nap together, I guess because that's the only way she could keep me quiet, so she could take a nap. But after the nap, she clarified to me why Jesus died on the cross and everything. I thought I was a pretty good little boy. I would go to Sunday school and we would go to church. But for some reason, I never really got what it was all about. But she clarified using scriptures like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And she clarified that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And when she's explaining this, I'm almost crying thinking about it now, how it touched my heart at that time to know how much Jesus loved me, that he was willing to suffer like this. And then she led me in a sinner's prayer, and that's the day I accepted Jesus. I was like 9 years old. And I remember that day, too, that I like received this peace upon me, that's a peace that's been there ever since. I mean, not that I never get flustered, but there's always this deep peace there. Two other women come to mind are, well, after my wife died in January 2017, I was trying to, well, Gary came to my wife's funeral. Rhonda was tied up. She was going to come too. And, they must have found out from the newspaper, cause we hadn't talked to him in years, actually, although we're good friends. So, after that, I was only a day or two later, I think Rhonda called me on the phone and was talking to me for about an hour and ministering to me. And I was deciding, trying to decide what church to go to. I hadn't been to church for about 2 years because I was visiting my wife in a nursing home every day. Anyway, as a result of that, that's what led me to come here. So basically, I want to give credit to Rhonda again for ministering to me the way she did. And another friend of mine comes to mind, a friend of my wife and I. Many of you know her. Her name is Jan. After my wife's death, Jan and I would get together, and she would encourage me and give me fellowship and help to lift me up. So those are just three women that come to mind, and Rhonda, again, awesome. Is one of them. Yeah. So,
thank you, yeah. Dave. Yeah, go ahead, Patricia.
Many of you know from last week that I didn't have the best mother, but I want to give God the glory for her because he chose her to give me life. Yeah. And he is really given me the ability to truly forgive her and have relationship with her, and even uses her to give me sound wisdom from time to time, which I never thought I could get from my mom, to be honest. So I want to recognize my mom. My mom and I are actually a lot of like in the regards that we both love people. My mom really, really loves people and would give her left arm for people. And that's just such a special gift to have. Another woman that I know came from God is a spiritual mother that I have. Her name is Arlene Mattis. God has used that woman to pray for me and intercede for me day and night when I have really needed prayer. She thinks she gave birth to me. She tells people she raised me, although she did not. I met her when I was in my 20s. But she's a very loving woman and pours out, but she's tough too. She's not always easy on you, and she calls it like it is. If you are doing what you shouldn't be doing, she's going to tell you. She's not going to play around. She can be really hard, but that gets people going in the right direction. Yeah. And another woman that comes to mind is someone that I met, I've known for some time, but didn't get to spend time with her, and that's Joanne. Joanne is very special to me.
Yeah.
We both love cats. We both have a lot of free time on weekends, and I've wanted someone for a long time to be able to fellowship with and hang out with and spend time with, and God brought me Joanne. I want to give her a hug. Come on up here, Joanne. I need to brag on her. Come. You're coming too. I'm bragging on Joanne. Joanne is she is such an answer to prayer for me. I love this woman. I feel like she says she's not old enough to be my mother, but listen, this woman is like a mother, and I love her dearly. My cat got sick on Friday, and I thought I had to put my baby down. And I'm talking to Joanne at 9 o'clock at night, and as I'm sitting in the vet room, and she's the only one I really wanted to talk to because I knew she'd understand. So I praise God for this woman. We spent hours together on Sunday last week. We went to lunch, and she didn't leave my house until 8 o'clock at night. And it was so wonderful. The time went by so fast. My schnoz doesn't work too great, so she was my nose telling me how to get rid of the cat odor in my house. So I'm glad for that, too. She's just a love. She will just do it all for you, and she's such an answer to prayer. I've wanted someone to hang out with and pal around with, and this is my gift. I'm thanks so grateful. Love this lady.
Love you too, honey.
Yep. So
awesome.
And one more woman, Pastor Rhonda too, because you know when this woman embraces you with a hug, when you call her on the phone and you hear her voice on the phone, it's like things just melt off. The worries of the world are lifted. She hugged me this morning even, and it was just genuine. I have not met another woman besides Joanne that, like, you just exude that love when you speak, when you talk, when you step into a room. It's just wonderful. And I love that Miss Pat over there, Patricia and Patricia here, when she says it too, she's told me many times she loves me. And, you know, so many of us, I don't know, have needed love. And this place is it. This is like such a well of love. And the people that come here, you can't help but be bathed in it to pour out to everyone else. So thank you, all of you.
I love you, honey. I love you. You're a Proverbs 31.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, James.
I have to tell you about my mother. She's a Proverbs 31 mother. My mother was born during the Depression. They had a very big family, lots of child abuse. My mother wound up in foster care. It was very sad. Wealthy couple took her out of the foster home. And this woman's husband abused my mother. And in the later years, as I took care of my mother, she used to tell me a lot of these stories that used to bring all but tears to my eyes. She had to sleep in a barn, and she froze her legs. So this leg was a stump, and the other had toes missing. My mother effortlessly cared for us five children with love that was beyond. We struggled. We had five kids. My dad was poor, but my mother, she would just pick up pieces and she'd pull it together. We had an acre truck patch, and she'd be there in her disability, and she'd be there with us. And we would, you know, get it together. Even though she had her disability, she still loved us. Even And then, you know, in the evening, she'd make a meal, or she'd even play baseball with those guys. And we always left her run to the base. We never tagged her out, because we loved her. And today, my mother, she left me, she left us in the year 2013, and I know she's with the Lord. She loved to read the Bible. She taught me about Jesus. She made sure we went to church and learned about Jesus, and she made sure that we knew him. And she taught me how to pray, because she told me that when she was through those tough times in the coal barn, she learned to talk to God, and God brought her through all that child abuse. But she was a precious, loving woman. And so today, I want to give her honor and glory. I know that she's with our Heavenly Father. What a great mother. My wife, Donna, met her and knew her very well. And when my wife met her, she said, I have never met a more precious woman. She was a great woman. My wife considered her her very own mother. Wow. And also, you know, when my wife was struggling, my mother thought my wife was going to pass away because there were some things going on. She said, you know, she can lay on our cemetery plot. I consider her a daughter. And so that's the kind of love my mother had. So I just wanted to share that with you. I've never really shared it with too many people, but, you know, awesome. I'm sharing that with you today.
Wow.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, she's a Proverbs 31 woman. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, Evan.
Yeah, I want to tell you all a little about my family. Yeah. Let me see. I'm going to start with my grandmother on my father's side of the family. Some background information on her. She didn't get saved until after she had been married. She's passed away now. She passed away, I believe, it was like 3 or 4 years ago when I was a sophomore in high school. She got saved, I want to say, in her 30s. And then she was, like, her determination has been crazy since forever. Because she was going to church, trying to get sanctified after she got saved for 10 years. Her husband still didn't go with her, didn't support it, didn't pay no mind to it. But she did her thing, knowing that it was going to work out eventually. It did. He later became the pastor of the church that she was going to. Yeah. Sure is. Sure is. Let's see. As long as I can remember, when I was a kid and I lived in New York, cause that's where she used to live. How do I put this? Like, she'd take me to school on days my mom had to get to work on time or early. And she'd pick me up from the bus stop. She'd take care of me, my friends that lived in the neighborhood, feed us, take care of us till my parents got back around like 7 o'clock at night. So I spent more time with her than with my immediate family when I was a kid. And then, at least that's what it seemed like. Just like, all right. And then when she started, when the cancer that she had started getting pretty bad, then that was, I don't know, like when you're a kid and you're just kind of cruising through life and you hear someone has a disease, it doesn't mean anything to you because you don't understand like what disease actually is, what pain looks like. And this is the first time I've ever experienced someone suffering anything, and the first time I've experienced someone close to me passing away. So I remember, I think it was probably 2 or 3 weeks before she actually died. She couldn't smell, she couldn't taste, and she could barely see, but she still cooked the whole meal for everybody that was going to come to see her.
Wow.
I remember her asking me, hey, Evan, can you taste this? Because I can't. Evan, can you try this? Make sure it's good before I feed it to people. And I'm like,
wow.
And it was still banging. It was still banging. her life was the reason that I decided to even start looking to go to church. Because my family moved away from New York when I was about 8 years old. And I saw her after that. I probably saw her twice a year. So, like, she wasn't real prominent in my life from what I could see between third grade and sophomore year of high school. But those last few months and weeks made all the difference. Because I remember seeing her probably like 2 days before she passed away on the hospital bed. She lost her vision. She lost all of her senses except her hearing. And even that was starting to go. And not once did she waver in her faith. Not once.
Wow.
And
awesome.
While in my heart I wanted to see God heal her, I knew that there had to be something else there if she had the faith, even though she wasn't seeing healing. I just knew. And while the next 2 years of my life were, you know, pretty rocky, because still trying to learn how to deal with the situation at the time, I eventually came to where I am now, and I like to owe that to her. And yeah, that's a story about my grandmother. But then I want to talk to you about my mom, though. My mom, right? So my mom, like, she's not really into church. She went as a kid to a Catholic church because her mom made her. But I think the values stuck. Just, she doesn't, I don't know, she doesn't like going to see people. It's not her thing. But the amount of love that this woman has, it's crazy. Like, you ever felt like somebody hugged you with their eyes? Because my mom's not a hugger. She's not really big on that. But, like, when you look at her, you feel like you're getting hugged. You feel the love.
Aww.
It's pretty amazing. Like, I'm still trying to get on that level. She's a oncology nurse, so she administers chemo to cancer patients. And in the beginning, it weighed on her. But I think after about a month, she's just been dealing with it. Like, it doesn't, I've never seen my mom stress about anything other than my education. Like, that is it. Not once has she stressed about anything. She's, when we first moved from New York, she woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to New York, get on a bus, do that work, and then didn't get home till 8 o'clock at night. Then after that, she decided she wanted to see her family more. So she went back to school at the age of 40 and did an accelerated bachelor's program for nursing. And then got her dream job, and she's living the life that she's always wanted to live. But not once have I seen her complain about anything. Not once have I seen her show any signs of quitting. I've seen her exhausted. I've seen her tired. I've seen her just wanting to take a nap. But not once have I seen her actually do it. So I just want to thank everybody here and remind you that you are a difference in someone's life, amen, whether you know it or not.
Amen.
And I love all of you. And I hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Evan. Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else want to pay tribute to a Proverbs 31 woman in their life? I'm going to ask one more person to do that. And then we do have some refreshments, I believe, afterwards here. People want to go home and maybe take their parents, mothers out for dinner or whatever. I have one more person, and I want that to be my husband. Your mother. Yes. Yeah, would you, Barry? Thank you.
Before I talk about my mother, I would like to talk about my wife. Many of you are very familiar with Rhonda being the pastor, In addition to that, she is a mother, a grandmother, and a wife. When I was looking for a marriage partner, I prayed to God for a godly woman. I didn't ask for a pastor. And she is all that. And I just want you to know that when you call Rhonda for ministry, for help, for anything, Rhonda answers the phone. Oftentimes against my own suggestions. We might be in the middle of something, and I'll tell her something like, let it go to voicemail. You can get back to them later. She doesn't do that. She answers the phone and directly ministers to that individual. And even while she's cooking dinner, we have a 20-foot cord in our kitchen phone. She is on the phone ministering while she's cooking dinner. And many other things I could say about her, but I think that's quite enough for now. And to my own mother, my mother became a born again Christian very late in her life. I led her to the Lord, and I expect to see her again. As a mother, she only had a third grade education. She needed to quit school and help raise her younger siblings. Her mother's husband left the family, left her mother with about six children, which my mother, being the oldest, had to help raise. She was everything that you would expect a mother to be. She took care of the children as we were growing up, made sure that I had everything, gave me the proper understanding of what was right and what was wrong. Both of my parents did that, and they were good examples of that. And I made sure that the clothes were washed. She even folded them. When I was younger, laid out my clothing for me, cooked all the meals. She made sure the house was clean. She had a regular schedule cleaning various parts of the house on particular days of the week. You could not ask for a better mother. And okay, thank you for this opportunity.
When I got to meet Gary's mother, you know, in my position here, I deal with a lot of people's backgrounds and things that they've dealt with in their childhood growing up, you know, issues that they've had. If there could be a more perfect family situation, Gary's mother and father provided that for him. I mean, he has a hard time relating to some issues that we deal with in the world, that we see it all around us. But his family was spot on, just so good. And his mother had a huge part to play in that. So I believe she heard that, honey. Yes. Woo! Awesome. Okay, so. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Wonderful. Oh, my gosh. I want to be able to deliver some to Yuritsa, and yeah, they're not here, they're working. But anyway, so that's our presentation about Proverbs 31 women, and every one of you in here is a Proverbs 31 woman. Every one of you. I applaud every one of you. Woo! God created you in His image. You are awesome, mighty women of God. We'll close in prayer, and then I think Pat might have some directions for us. But anyway, so Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for these awesome women that you have placed in our lives. Father, I thank you for the mighty women that you have laid out in Scripture for us, Lord, to learn from, to glean from. Father, I thank you for the Naomis and for the Ruths. I thank you for the Esthers and the Marys and the Elizabeths, Lord God. I thank you for these mighty women. Lord, I also thank you for all of these women that were just spoken about here today. These women that are alive today and that have impacted our lives from their a sacrifice, from their perseverance, Lord God. But the thread of love that I heard in every single one of them. the love that you have given, Father God. It's the Father's love that is demonstrated and poured out through these godly women. Father, we thank you for your love. Your love is amazing. Thank you for loving us. And Father, we thank you for these godly women that have impressed us, that helped us to be who we are. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have provided for us. You're an awesome God. You love us so much. Your love is amazing. And we give you praise for it.